So we're going to read a story that we've read before. And I want to ask some questions, and hopefully we'll come up, maybe not a completely different picture of what the story is all about, but a little deeper understanding by asking some questions and seeing how different commentaries understand the story. So we're gonna read the story first. We'll develop some basic approaches, and then we'll ask some questions. So I'll read the story. Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says, "My dichsiv." What does it mean that it's written? Ashri adam afachei tamim. Happy is a person who's always happy. Umaksha libo yipo bara'a. Someone who hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Akamtsa bar kamtsa charev Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of kamtsa bar kamtsa. A tarnagola v'tarnagola charev turmarka. Because of a rooster. And a rooster, the Tur Malka was destroyed. Ashaka de Rispak Charubeta, the city of Beitar was destroyed on top of a shaft from a chariot. But I had initial goal actually to go through all these agaditas, but I got stuck on the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. It's gonna take me too long. So Kamsa Bar Kamsa Charvush alive. So we have these. So we're saying that there are Ashur Mafachi Tamid is about three stories, but we're focusing on Kamsa Bar Kamsa. And Kamsa Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. There was Gavra de Chavre de Rachme Kamsa. There was a person, he liked Kamsa. Bal Devava, the person who he hated, was Bar Kamsa. Avut Sudasa, he made a meal. Amar Le Lashami says to his servant, Zil Aisi Li Kamsa, go bring me Kamsa. Azla Aisi Le Bar Kamsa, he brought him Bar Kamsa instead. Asa Bar Kamsa came, Ashka de Hava Yosef. So he came and he was sitting. Amar Le Michti, he said to him, Michti, let's see, Ahu Gavra Baldavava. Right? He said, Ahu Gavra Baldavava, the Hu Gavra Hu. He said, the host said that this man is my enemy of that man. Means he's my enemy. My boy Sachi, what are you doing here? Kumpo, get out of here. Amar Le Bar Kamsa said, whoa, since I already came, Hose Basai, since I already came, Shavkan, leave me, Vehid the Loch, and I will give you Deme Mada Achil Navishasida. Give me the money of what I ate and drank. I'll give you the money of what I ate and drank. Amar Le, lo, he said no. Amar Le, Yahid Nalach, Deme Pagos, this, oh, the Taich. I will give you half of the cost in Tarbiya. Amar Le said to him, lo, no. Amar Le said to him, Yahiv Nalach, Deme Kula, so O de Tayach. I will give you the value of the whole meal. Amar Le, lo, no. Nakte Bidev, Okme Vapke. So the host took Kamsa by his hand, he stood him up and took him out. Amar, Bar Kamsa said, Hoil Vahavu Yasve Rabbanu Velomichobe, since the rabbis were sitting and they didn't protest, Shmamina Kanichalho. So obviously they're happy with this. They're happy. Ezel Echo Bahu Kurza Be Malka. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to inform against them to the king. Azel Omer Leila Kesar. So he went, he came, he said to the Caesar, Maradu Bach Yehudai, the Jews have rebelled against you. Omer Le, the emperor said back to him, Miyamar, who says, Omer Le, Shadir Lahu Korbana, send to them a korban. Chazis I Mark Makrivin Le. Let's see if he will offer the korban. Azel Shadar Bide Egla Tilta. He brought him a good 3-year-old calf. Ba'adei dekasi shada be'muma beniv svasayim va'amri la bedugim shevayet. So while he was coming to the Beis Hamikdash, he made a blemish, some say on the upper lip and some say on the eyelid. Duchta diladidon hava muma, that's considered a blemish for us. Uldidhu, and for them, lav mumahu, it's not a blemish. Savur rabbanan lakruve mishum shlomachol. So the rabbis didn't know what to do. They said, okay, let's offer this sacrifice up, even though it's a blemish sacrifice, because of the maybe to keep the peace. Maybe we can violate halacha because we can make peace for the government. We can violate this halacha. Amaluhu Rabbi Zachariah ben Avkulus. Zachariah ben Avkulus said, "Yomru bale mumim kravim legabim pech." How can you do that? If you bring this korban, people will say that animals that are blemished can be brought on the Mizbeach. Savar the Mitle, the Lolays of Lemo. So they thought, let's kill him, Bar Kamsa, so that he won't go up and say anything. Amar Lahu Rav Zachariah. Zachariah said, Yomu Matil Mum Bekachi Mihari. If we kill Bar Kamsa, what are people going to say? That anyone who does this is put to death. And that's obviously not the case. Amar Rav Yochanan said, the same Rav Yochanan who said, Ashri Adam Fachay Tamid in the beginning, He says, Av Sanuso Shirab Skarya ben Avkulus Techrivas Besenu, Visarfa Sechaleda, Viglisenu, Meritsenu. He says that the forbearance or the humility of Rav Zechariah ben Avkulos destroyed our Beis HaMikdash, burnt our temple, and exiled us from our land. So on the surface, this is a story of what? Right? The story of? The surface? Sinas Chinam. On the surface, the story of Sinas Chinam. One person embarrasses someone else publicly. Nobody says anything. And therefore, this person who was informed on, you know, tells the Romans that the Jews are rebelling, and he causes the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So I think the story is a little more nuanced than this. And I think if we delve into the details of the story, we can appreciate who really is to blame and what was really the cause for the failures that led to the Khorban, according to the story. And we can say there are very practical lessons for us, I think, in 2024. Now, I want to ask a bunch of, the way I want to go about this, I have a bunch of questions I want to ask and get your thoughts on it. Okay, and we'll go through this one by one. Your thoughts, what some of the Mefarshim say, and we'll try to develop a picture here. So my first question is, we begin the story, and again, I didn't translate any of the other sources, but I'm going to explain everything. So we begin, Rav Yochanan says, he introduces the story by saying, what? He says, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. What does that mean? What does that mean? Asher and Mefachei Tamid. Happiest, like what? How does that relate to the story? Asher and Mefachei Tamid.
There's multiple options.
The what?
There's multiple options. One is that, I mean, I raised up first.
Okay.
But basically, one is the fear of sin. In other words, don't embarrass somebody else. But there's another also plain meaning to it, which is like, were they not worried that Caesar was going to come down on them? What were they thinking?
Okay, so now they're in. So one explanation is Asher and Mefachei Tamid is, You should think twice before sitting. In other words, it's like a general, general situation. Like you should be careful not to sin, and people weren't careful to sin.
Yeah,
and
that puts it in a positive, you put it in the negative.
Okay, you should be careful to always fear God. Okay, not to sin. Okay. I'm saying, Mefachei Tamid can either mean maybe you should always be afraid that maybe you can do something wrong. Think before you act, and that's like a general law, right? But you're saying, so the second thing is something more specific, that
I mean, what were they thinking?
Right, now there's like short-sightedness, basically.
There's a third one, which is like, what you should do
right
before you give a
psak. Right, okay, so in other words, short-sightedness, either the person who gave the psak, short-sightedness about, well, right, the same thing, it's the psak halacha, and the, right. It's short-sightedness, basically. Anything else, maybe, that it could refer to? Okay, I mean, if you look, I just gave you three examples, right? If you look, what type of constant fear? Because Asher Mefachei Tamid, happy to be constantly afraid. You have a thought, Hashi?
Yeah, my thought is, pachad means to be in awe. Somehow, it should be not a matter of fear, but in awe of what's going on right now in terms of God's involvement and what the, you know, what the options are, but to see it in the kind of a bigger
right.
picture.
The bigger picture is like the short-sightedness. Okay. I wonder if awe might be year as opposed to pachad, I think. I'm not sure, but, okay. So, actually, there are three explanations that I brought. The pasuk is from Mishlei, and Rashi says, Mefachei tamid, doeg me onesh, uvachach misrach me aver. In general, don't sin. But that's like a general, like a warning. Okay, fine. But how about here specifically? Rashi and our Gemara explains, Mefachei doeg liros hanolad shelo tera takala bekach imasezos. So this is, you're worried for the future. That's short-sightedness. And we have to see, where was the short-sightedness? It might be more places than we think. So, Asher Mefachei Tamid, you should be afraid, because again, that's the heading. The heading of this story is Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. So is it fear of punishment? Is it maybe short-sightedness? Worried about, you have to be careful what consequences your actions could have. There's also Gemara and Brachos, which says in Samach Amad Aleph, the only other time where it mentions this notion of Asher Mefachei Tamid, it tells a story of a student who was walking behind Rabbi Shmuel Rav Yossi, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi says, he saw that he was afraid. Chazid the Kamafki, he saw he was afraid. Amarle, Chatoad, you should be afraid. Dixiv, Pachadu Betziv Chachadim, don't be so afraid. Amarle said to him, Bahak Siv, but doesn't the Pasuk say, Mishle Ashri Adam Fachi Tamid? No, Amarle Ahubit Divrei Torah Ksiv. In other words, this Gemara means about fear of forgetting Torah. Okay, we'll see that this, there, some may explain this as well. But there are basically three definitions of asher mefachei tami. Number one is fear of sin. Number two is fear of future consequences. And number three, fear of forgetting the Torah. Now, if I were to ask you what caused the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, so I have the Gemara Yoba, which says Sinas Chida. Are there any other, the truth is there's another Gemara, before we get to Gittin, there's another Gemara which says, a little strange Gemara, and it says why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and it's by the same Rav Yochanan. You look at the Gemara above Metzia. You have Gemara in Yoma says that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, even though they were occupied in Torah, there was Sinas Chidam. That we all know. We hear about that every day. But the Gemara above Metzia, Daf Lamed and Beis, says the same Rabbi Yochanan says, Lo Chorva Yerushalayim, Ela Al Shadonu Ba Din Torah. They followed the Din Torah. They say, what does that mean exactly? And the conclusion is, Shemidu Dineyam Al Din Torah, Velo Avdu Lifni Mishur Asadin. They didn't engage in Lifni Mishur Asadin. They didn't go above and beyond. And the question that when we read the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, which seems to be a story of Sinas Chinam, it seems to be a story of, you know, what we read in Gemara and Yoma. Now, you have these like one-liners of why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and then you have a story. And the question is, what's the message of the story? Right? So you have Sinas Chinam, it seems like, you know, Kamsa, Bar Kamsa, they hate each other. We got Sinas Chinam there. The question is, number one, is what about this line of Rav Yochanan about Lifnei Mishur HaSadin? Is that a part of the story? And my other question is, the header of the story is Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. How does that relate to the story? In other words, is it really about Sinas Chinam? Is it about Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid? Is it about Lifnei Mishur HaSadin? And the rabbis are trying to, the commentaries on the Gemara are trying to deal with all these different Gemaras to maybe get a deeper understanding of what the story is all about. So just to throw out one line, which is not, you know, exciting for our shir, but the Marsha says, you know, the Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid has nothing to do with our story. He says, Perush Rashi, look in here, what sins contributed to number three, in our Gemara, what sins contributed to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Rilchus says, what does it mean when it says, Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid, Akamsa Bar Kamsa, Perush Rashi, Doeg Liros Hanolad, right? You're worried about the future. Rotsa Lomar, Mima She'ira Takala Barishonim, Dehaini Berushalayim, Hava Lahem Lidogan Al Hanol Lahem. He said, because of what happened to Yerushalayim, they thought they were safe and sound, and they were destroyed. So the people of Tur Malka and Beitar should be worried. Ela Sheba Tur Malka Hikshu Libav Lo Dago Takalash Achar Shero Takalash Yerushalayim V'chein Churban Beitar. So this is like a throwaway line. Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid means short-sightedness, not referring to the Kamsa Bar Kamsa story. Okay, that's just saying that the other two stories that they didn't worry about what might happen after they saw what happened to Yerushalayim. But if you look at that, there are two fascinating explanations. First, we're going to see the Chasam Sofer, and then the Ksav Sofer, I think it's his grandson, his son or his grandson. Yeah.
We have another situation, by the way,
yeah,
where we're told that there's two reasons for some type of destruction.
Right.
In the novel.
Right.
And, you know, it's sort of like they say, like, oh, this happened, but
right,
the Gemara
did. Right. Yeah, right. So what I'm saying, what I'm going to try to do is, and it, you could say that there's an argument as to what the cause was. I'm going to try to share with you two different explanations that sort of point to all three causes into one big picture. That's exactly what I'm trying to do. Yes, thank you. So the Chasam Sofer says the following, and he cites this Rabbi Rav Yaakov Vermees, who was the head of the community of Frankfurt the Main, the bottom, second to last line. Ahodim Rav Yochanan, that which Rav Yochanan says, Bishabbos Lo Charva Yerushalayim Ela Sheminu Dinim Al Din Torah. So Rav Yochanan, and by it's the same Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan, it's the same author. So you can't say they're arguing. You can't say like different rabbis, different things. So Rav Yochanan says that in Masechet Shabbos, that Yerushalayim was destroyed because they didn't go Lifnei Mishur HaSadin. And in Yomar, Rav Yochanan said Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. He says nearly, next page, again, I'm going to translate everything. Al pi divrei Rav Yochanan dehacha dakol emes. Everything is the truth. They're not arguing. Daha be'emes sarach lahavid, that we really need to understand. My taima shatku chachme Yisrael v'lo michu. Shlol yivayesh esbar kamsa. The big question is the following. How bad were the rabbis? It's like a self-interested question because I'm a rabbi. But like the rabbis in the party, how bad were they? They didn't protest. They look really bad. Someone is like explicitly embarrassing someone else. Like, you know, he's screaming at someone. He's throwing them out. Like, listen, I have to tell you, there are times when I'm put in a situation where this one tells me to say this to this one, and it's like a sensitive issue. Do I say something? Am I going to insult someone? Am I not going to insult someone? And it's like, oh, it's very often a very touchy issue. When do I say something? When do I not say something? If someone's committing, you know, this infraction, that infraction. But you think about it, 1 second. But you think about this. This is like someone is getting up, and he's like embarrassing, you know, someone in a room full of people. You would think that the rabbis would say something. It makes them look really, really bad. You see, it's like, what are you saying?
Well, it turned out they were in a rock and a hard place. Whatever they would do, there was a ramification.
Well, to say something to the host, but I'm saying like, this is, I would think if you were in a roof, and there's someone who's like lambasting, you know, someone else and going on and on and on and on and on. And like for the highest ethical, moral people, supposedly, of the society, not to say anything, it makes them look really bad. So you also have to deal with that story. We're dealing with you know, these are hopefully good people, you know, but like what caused them not to say anything? We have to sort of deal with that piece also. And I'm curious, like, do you ever think of that? Like, I've heard the story. Like, how do you sort of deal with that? Yeah. The fight, yeah. I don't know. We know about Bar Kamsa. I don't have anything on that. I don't have anything on that.
No, what kind of guy?
Yeah, he's not a great guy.
Right.
So that's an interesting question. Like another.
Maybe he's a rotten guy.
So good. So maybe he's a rotten guy, and another interesting question. We should think about. I don't know if you thought about this. Did this. Was this like the last straw? Was he like a good? Was he like a decent guy? And like, what? After this, right? What does he do? He tells the Romans he went after Derek. Was this like a final straw? Was this like a process? Like, these are interesting questions we think about. Yeah, Evan. That's what Yochanan says. Yeah.
And by three, was the big three.
Yeah.
I
didn't say it's worse than the big three. Oh, you say this. So the Maral has a piece on this, and he says that what Klai Yisrael had going for them, at least at the time of the second Beis Hamikdash, they didn't have the Shechina, but they had going for them was that there was this Achdus, so that's what they had going for them, and what that was missing. That was what the Beis Hamikdash was founded upon. He also makes another interesting point, which I wasn't going to bring this in. He makes a very interesting point. He says that he ties this to Begon Lifnim Mishur Asadin. It could be under normal circumstances. Like you want to sort of like, you have this story here, then you have the real story. I don't want to say the real story is not this story, but you have this the Gemara's presentation of the story and the history, which is a rebellion. So the Maral, for example, says that, you know, had they gone Lifnim Mishur Asadin, and had they cared about, you know, Achdus, then maybe Hashem would have gone Lifnim Mishur Asadin on them as well. So in other words, it could be that there's the natural, and then there was the sort of, had they gone Lifnim Mishur Asadin and cared about each other and had tremendous Achdus, so maybe Hashem would have gone Lifnim Mishur Asadin. In a sense, the sins were worse. So I guess we're seeing the power of Achdus. It seems the power of Achdus. In any case, so was Bar Kamsa a rotten guy? So again, the rabbis are struggling to try to understand this Gemara. So it says, nearly, it said, Al-Pi D-Rav Yochanan, Kol Emes. Everything's the truth. So we try to do what you want to do to me. Put them all together. My time, Shatku Chama Mishov, Lo Michal Shalom Vaishu Bar Kamsa. Why did the rabbis not protest to embarrass Bar Kamsa? And he cites the Gemara in Psachim. And the Psachim, so we go down to the next source. You know, there's a halacha in the Torah that says when you see the animal of your kitira sodacha, rovei takamatzo, you should help someone. If the guy who you hate and he's and his donkey is like laden with stuff and is falling out, you should help him out. So it calls the person a sode, someone that you hate. How can you hate anyone? The Gemara says, "Vahux, can you hate someone?" It says, "Lotis is chichba vavecha." You're not allowed to hate someone. So the Gemara says, "The chazye bay ihu devar erva." You're allowed to hate someone if you find something licentious, something bad in the person. And Rav Nachman B'Yitzchak says it's a mitzvah to hate him. It's obviously a very difficult concept, mitzvah to hate someone. The Rabbah, so when it brings you, the Rabbah, the next source says that if you hate someone, Hasode Shnemar B'Yisrael, B'Torah, Hu B'Yisrael, when it says that you hate someone, that's a Jew. Lo B'Umos Olam, V'Heith Yel Yisrael, Sode B'Yisrael. How could you hate, another Jew? V'Aksiv, Lotisa Tchichba V'Vecha. Omru Chachabim, the rabbi say, Kegod She'ra'ohu Levado, She'avar Avera, So the rabbi understands the idea of hating someone, like it's a little foreign to us. The idea is you should shun someone until, if you believe that by doing so, it's going to lead to them repenting. Like sometimes we know sometimes you take a, you're strong against someone, and because they committed, let's say, a certain sin, and they keep on doing it, and again, we're assuming, I think, that we believe that by you doing this, this will lead to him doing tshuva. If you don't believe this, though, then I don't think this will be permitted. That's a broader conversation. But apparently, the Gemara here talks about, the possibility of hating someone. Now, the Tosfos, now, if we go back to the Chassam Sofer, and he cites the Tosfos, he says, Mikol makom lo yirel lefon of sinah b'farhesya mishum kamayim haponim el haponim. That even though maybe you could hate someone for something that they did, and if you believe that you can convince the person to do tshuva by taking a harsh tone to that person, it might be warranted. But you shouldn't, in general, hate the person publicly. You shouldn't. Let's say you don't like what this person's doing because kemaim haponim el ponim. What does it mean kemaim ponim el ponim? Like the water, right? What happens to water? If you look angry at the water, what's going to happen? The water's going to look angry at you, right? You look in a mirror, it's going to reflect back on you. So what he's saying is the following, that even though at times, even though Bar Kamsa might be a bad guy, and maybe under some context, if you believe it can lead to the person doing tshuva, you could be harsh with the person. However, you have to understand, if you do it in public, it's going to cause him to hate you. It's not good. Venira larav hanal dizel bichlal lifnim mishur sadid. That's lifnim mishur sadid. Maybe technically it might be okay, but lifnim mishur sadid, there's no purpose in publicly saying I hate you because it's going to cause greater hatred. Videi bishas kishlodav sheyisrael nichshelu hayadyoti besidas chidav. And in the time of their failure, the failure was sidas chidav by the masses. But chachmei Yisrael, what about the leaders? Torah, because they were following the strict letter of the law. And this was the hatred with Bar Kamsa. When the rabbis were sitting at their table, and they're seeing this guy who was embarrassing Bar Kamsa, who may have been a little bit of a rotten guy, and they felt it's justified because he's a rotten guy. But lifnim mishur sadid, they should not have done that. Al kein shatku v'lo bichu. Amnam ilav de'aminu dineim al din Torah hayumochim mitam lifnim mishur sadid sholaharo sinem b'farhesya. Technically, maybe there's a mitzvah to hate someone to get them to do tshuva, but certainly b'farhesya publicly, you should not act like that. And basically, the rabbis, I would say, were a little confused in the halacha, or the rabbis did not protest. Because they saw that here was someone who was attacking. You can see this sometimes, right? You see someone who's embarrassing a rotten guy among the group. You're like, he's a rotten guy, he deserves it. And no, he doesn't deserve it. Yeah?
No, it's an interesting thing. I mean, he leaves out what seems to be an obvious wrinkle that's implied by him, because otherwise you can't read this, which is the following. The guy, the host, hated him
right, for
no reason.
We don't know that.
He says it. He says, in other words, yeah. What is the story telling us?
Right.
The Hanyotim were
Nishol right. And... Right, by the way, we can debate, okay, I'll let, yeah, okay.
Hashem must have known that there was something wrong with him. Otherwise, right. Being down the chasplos, how can they choose which one?
Right.
Which one do you know to be down the chasplos?
Right.
It's more nuanced even than words that he writes.
Right. The truth. Siddas chida, by the way, might mean like. And this is a different shear, but it might mean more sinna that the person deserves. I'm just saying, like, you could also read sinna. Sinna means, like, undeserved hatred. Like, it can't be sinna for nothing. It might be undeserved hatred, and they were trying to be
allowed to
tell them. But yes.
That's where he goes so far.
Yeah.
To say, even, I'm going to pick you up and throw you out, even though you...
Correct.
You
right.
Party.
Right.
I'm just saying that there's more going on here.
Yeah.
They have to know something.
Maybe they knew something. Yeah. Or their melamed schus that maybe there's something would seem to indicate, but basically,
they don't mention the host's name.
Yeah. Right. It may be a story. Yeah. You say because it's a negative thing. They'll mention the name. Yeah. Okay. So again, then how would you say what's the ashram of Shem Fachei Tabid? That they didn't protest. So again, they didn't protest the display of hatred. That's what Chassam Sofer says. In other words, the failure of the rabbis, they didn't display the protest of hate, the display of hatred. And this was lifnei b'shur ha'sadeh. They should have gone above and beyond. They should have protested. The Chassam Sofer, if you look a few sources down, Chassam Sofer says it's a little bit different. So nearly b'shenavi lama b'mes shatku rabbanav lo bichu. So why the rabbis not protest? The other shehu balasuda sode tochachos. They're really struggling. He must be a guy who doesn't like rebuke. I mean, who loves rebuke? Okay, no. But he's someone, the host, does not like rebuke. Veino mekabel tochacha. He's not going to accept the tochacha. So what's the halacha if someone's not going to accept tochacha? Do you rebuke them?
Sure. Yes. Isn't that the
mitzvah? There are different Gemaras about this.
Like
no. There's a Gemara that said just there's the mitzvah to rebuke.
Okay, but
he says Ella should be called makom tzarich lochich leikabel. However, you never know. You never know if he's going to accept. This is a broad discussion. I think I've talked about it before. But he says agab shneir lahem shal yikabel. Even though they thought that he would accept tochacha, mikol makom lo yadu sofo. They know the end. Ulai berov dvarim yechdal pesha. Maybe in the end he would stop sitting. Eladira li shazeh lifni b'shur ha'sadin. This is above and beyond. V'heim eminu dinei matin Torah. But they were fine. The strict letter of the law, he's someone who doesn't like rebuke. We don't have to say anything. No, they should think that maybe he will say something. V'haidu de Rav Yochanan. This is what Rav Yochanan and Bava Metzia. V'haidu ashrei. Now he context this. Ashrei adam b'fachei tamid. Shelo asa kedin. He didn't pass. You should always be afraid and think that maybe he didn't act appropriately. Then you're going to go above and beyond and say, Shema tabi dimyono shiyotu yidei chavos v'asukadim. The rabbis say, oh, the easiest, right? The easiest point, the easiest way to deal with the conflict is don't do anything. So the rabbis are saying, he hates the Baal Suda, the host hates tochacha, hates rebuke. Don't have to say anything. I'm good to go. Right? I'm good to go. That's the path of least resistance. No. Lifni b'shur ha'sadim means ashrei adam b'fachei tamid. You need to be concerned that maybe this is not the right path. You always need to ask someone and think about maybe they didn't follow halacha. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan says ashrei adam b'fachei tamid. Okay? So we have sort of like two different, we found in the Mefarshim two different explanations for the failure of the rabbis. One is maybe that they didn't protest this display of hatred. Even though the guy was a bad guy, you shouldn't still publicly display hatred towards the person. And also, they didn't protest because they didn't think the host would listen. And then the question, of course, is how bad is the mistake of the rabbis? So again, according to the Chassam Sofer, they misunderstood the halacha. According to the Ksav Sofer, they didn't have faith in the listener. Right? The different failures. There is another interesting comment, which might be in addition. Look at the Marsha. The Marsha, this is like the, if you go down here, the Omar Hol v'havi yasir abad v'lo bichu. Ika l'meimar, there is to say, Mashalo bichu, why did the rabbis protest? Mipnei shalo haya biyadam limchos, because they weren't able to protest. Efshar sha'asuke, maybe they did this. Ki hachanufa hi shegavra ba'oso hador. What is he saying here? Because flattery was very pervasive in that generation. As we find in Maseches Sota by Grifas HaMelech. What's the story with Grifas HaMelech? You know who Grifas was? Right, so Grifas was this king in the end of the Second Temple period. He came from the house of, what? Of Hordus, from the house of Herod. And basically the Gemara Sota tells a story about how in Hakel, the Hakel ceremony, when the rabbi would, when the king would read from the Sefer Torah every 7 years, they would give him the Sefer Torah. And when Agrippas is reading from this book, and he says that lo suchal seisalav ish nachri, you can't have a foreigner be a king, he started crying because he was a foreigner, because he came from the house of Hordus. Herod was not originally, he was from a house of slaves, he was not originally a Jew, and he could not be the king. And so what happens? Amrulo, they said to him, everyone said to Agrippas, Altisare, Agrippas, Achenu, Atachinata, you're our brother, you're our brother. And the Gemara says, Ba'osa Shad is Chayvu Sodi Yisrael Kalaya. So this is a euphemism. He said, at that time, the Jewish people deserved destruction, as it were. Shech Nifil Agrippas, because they flattered Agrippas. So this obviously is a very touchy issue. How do you deal with someone, a king? And you know, but politics. What? Politics, but they flattered him. But more than this, look at the next line. Rav Shimon Chalafta says, Miyom Shegavar Agrofa Shel Chanupa. At the time that the fist, play on the words, maybe Agrippas, flattery became strong. Nisavsu hadidim v'niskalklu hamasim. Judgments and deeds have been corrupted. No one can say that my deeds are greater than your deeds, because fake news. There's no concept of truth anymore, ever since flattery is rampant. So I'm wondering that maybe is that an additional reason. In other words, sometimes you have a reason. You can always give a svara, a logical reason as to why you do or don't do something. But is there like an underlying reason? In other words, this is what some people call nowadays gevir culture. You know that like in other words, like, you know, we whatever the gevirim in the community say, because they have all the money, so we can't say anything. We have to listen to them, right? So we call this gevir culture. So could be that, yeah, the technical reason is that the rabbis, could be a technical reason, the rabbi said what? The rabbi said, okay, he was a bad guy, so you could embarrass him. It could be that they said, no, they're not going to listen to rebuke. But beneath the surface, right, the Baal Suda was a chashuv guy. He's throwing a party and all the rabbis are there. He's a wealthy guy. Maybe there's gevir culture. Maybe there's flattery. That might be the underlying reason. It may not be a conscious reason, but sometimes, what does the Gemara say? In a world of flattery, in a world of gevir culture, that maybe sometimes, you know, this halacha leads one way, this halacha leads another way, because of this unfortunate influence. So how does the story lead to Bar Kamsa's betrayal? And whose fault was it? So, you know, you look at the Eun Yaakov, and what does he do? He right away, he says, okay, he's embarrassed. And all of a sudden, what does he do? He goes to the king and says they're rebelling, which is going to cause major catastrophe. Like, you know, is this the normal cause and effect if you get embarrassed? Right? So the Eun Yaakov says, Kalomar, Kemen Shadacha also, Shalalechol, Bisudazu, Yasa Tamasuralechol, Pas Akomim, Sudas Melachim. Yeah, if they threw me out to eat a meal with them, so now I'm going to eat a meal with the non-Jews. He basically, this level of embarrassment led him to go off the derech. After he was embarrassed, he went off the derech. And we know statements in the Gemara. Gemara Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Chasam and Beis. Kol amal bim penei chaveiro ki'ilu shofech damim. Anyone who embarrasses his friend is as if he's spilling blood. It has major effects. It has major impact. Right? If you embarrass someone, it's if you're spilling blood. Now, you know, Hesi, you're telling me that, you know, chayach to chayach should always rebuke someone. There are Gemaras which say that if you know someone's not going to listen, then you don't have to rebuke them. Now, the Muki Yosef, there are a lot of conflicting Gemaras when it comes to the midst of rebuke. And there's a great Nemuka Yosef, which I think is so relevant here, even though it's not exactly on point. The Nemuka Yosef deals with two different Gemaras. One seems to say rebuke the masses, and one says don't rebuke the masses. And the Gemara and the Nemuki Yosef says that which you say Maseches Shabbos, that the master should rebuke to the house of the exilarch. And one rabbi said to another rabbi, I want you to rebuke the house of the exilarch. And the other rabbi said, he's not going to listen to me. He said, nevertheless, lochinomar, still you should rebuke him. Why? Hasam hu shalochicham klal el sheyamakir behem shal yishmu. He thought he wasn't going to listen. But umishum de ulai yishmu, maybe they will listen. Umishum shalo yiyelohem pischon peh. There's a fascinating halacha. Sometimes we think either don't rebuke or keep on rebuking. There's a halacha that when it comes to the masses, you should rebuke at least once, even though they're not going to listen, because maybe some will listen, or maybe so they can't say what? That you didn't say anything. You knew about this, you didn't say anything. Let's say, for example, theoretically in a shul, there's a kiddush club. I don't know, going on. Right? And so, Baruch Hashem, I don't go out during davening, most of the time. Right? So let's say there's a kiddush club, right? And so, I walk by a kiddush club, and I say, hi, how you doing? Good Shabbos. Right? So then, and then, years later, they'll say, oh, Rabbi, you walked by there, you didn't say anything, obviously it's okay with you. So it's a judgment call. Like, in other words, should I engage in plausible deniability? Should I not? Okay? So, these are interesting questions. In other words, do you say something once just to make a statement that you're not okay with it? And by the way, that was the problem here. In other words, the rabbis, what did they say? The rabbis, they said, we don't want to say anything because maybe he deserves to be embarrassed. Yeah, but what about the fact, maybe the other guy, he's not going to like the rebuke. But maybe it's not for the host. It's for Bar Kamsa to see that we care. And maybe that's the short sightedness. Asher Adam Afachi Tamid. Now you have to worry about, it's not only, see what's interesting about the mitzvah of Tochacha, sometimes it's Tochacha, if it's between you and let's say the person, let's say they're committing a Beidam LaMakom sin, but if they're committing a Beidam LaChavero sin, let's say someone is embarrassing someone else and you don't say anything, then what does that person think about you?
Or anyone else watching,
right. Especially the rabbis who are supposed to represent the highest echelons of society or the highest ethical and moral people of society who are supposed to. And by the way, there's a fascinating Sav Sofer. If you notice, I only noticed this the first time when I prepared the show this year. When Bar Kamsa comes to the emperor and he says the Jews are rebelling, what does he specifically take? He takes an egel, okay, and some say he cuts off the lip, and some say he cuts off the eyelid. So why does he do that? So the fasting Sav Sofer. Sav Sofer says the following. Let's read it together inside. Shadar bidei egla tilsa. He takes a calf, choice calf. Ayin be marsha. The marsha says, l'rames al cheta egel. Bar Kamsa, he's giving musar. He's hitting on the cheta egel. D'chsiv v'yom pakti. What? Oh, so the Ksav Sofer is saying he's hitting. The Ksav Sofer says he's hitting. The Ksav Sofer cites the Marsha who says he's hitting about the Chayde Ego. Vinir Ali, look what the Ksav Sofer says. Again, it's one explanation. The Alpi Darkola Farshas. I'm going to go deeper to the Marsha. Lefima Shekasiv Rabad Batorah. That's according to what the Rabbat writes in the Torah. Hagab Shem Moshe Dad Vaharag also de Polcho La'ego. Moshe killed everyone who worshipped the golden calf. Mikol Bakom, nevertheless, Hadisharim Yesh Biyadav Avod Egel Shalomich. Why does Moshe have to ask God? He killed all the everyone who worshipped. Then he goes to the people. I'm going to now ask God for forgiveness. He killed everyone. Right? But what's he asking for forgiveness for those who didn't say anything? I like to quote Rabbi Blach. What does Rabbi Blach say? Silence is the golden calf. That's Rabbi Blach line. That's what he said. Yeah, the article. Silence is the golden calf. So he says, Yesh b'yad avod egal shlomichu. V'cheid ze haya b'yad rabbanu d'elu d'shatke v'lochichu. That was the sin of the rabbis. That's why he brings the calf to them, to remind them about the sin of the golden calf. That was their sin, the sin of not protesting. And the Ksav Sofer goes even further. He said, and some say he made a mum in the lip or in the eyelid. Ayin Marsha, the Marsha wants to say this Lashon Hara and Ayin Hara. But linear, it seems to be. What's the sin? He's rebuking them that they saw and they were silent. What do? They turn their eye away. He makes a cut in the eye. They turn their eye away. Or maybe, and also what's nivsvasayim? Some say it was a lip. And what? They didn't say anything. Right? So in other words, says the Ksav Sofer, that in the korban that Bar Kamsa brought and he sent back to the people, he was hinting to their sin of the sin of the golden calf, of not protesting, of turning a blind eye, of being silent when they shouldn't be silent.
It's amazing. You want to say Bar Kochum's a bad guy.
Bar Kamsa, yeah.
Talmud Chacham
and he's not, okay. Or could be the rabbis are putting in the story to teach us a lesson. You know, whether, you know, either one. So So ultimately, we have to ask ourselves. Yeah, you want to say something? Ultimately,
are we to take from this story that there's absolutely no place for public humiliation? Yeah, yes. I think today a lot of Jews that are anti-Israel, outspoken Israel, came into you, they walked into a crowd of people who are supposed to welcome
them. So these are good questions. So again, this is someone who had an Ervas Davar. This is someone who maybe had his own sin. It wasn't against other people. It wasn't trying to harm. There you try to save people. So we can get into the weeds of when this Bible does apply. If someone's trying to harm you, it's lo sabal dabreyecha. You can't stand idly by when someone, when you're about to be harmed. So if you let someone engage in their behavior, which could be harmful to you, so then you should stop them. It's not clear to me that Bar Kamsa at the party, he was just someone who hated him. He was someone who maybe, there was, at least the way the Chassam Sofer says, it might have been a Benam Lamakum issue, it might have been a bad, but it wasn't something that was harming other people. And there, that might be a different story, okay? So ultimately then, is this story about Sinas Chinam or is it about protesting Sinas Chinam? Who's the bad guy in the story? So what's interesting is there's also like a big question that some of the Mepharshim ask also. It says, Akamsa Ubar Kamsa Chorav Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. So the question is, was Kamsa the bad guy? So there's some who say, Pesach Einayim, he said, no, it doesn't mean that Kamsa and Bar Kamsa were bad. It just means that, you know, because of this mix-up of the story, so that's why Yerushalayim was destroyed. However, the Maral says, I think I've actually brought the source before. The Maral says, the Kasher Tidaktik Beloshon Kamsa. If you analyze, you're precise in the language of Kamsa, Ki Hashem Azem Mora Al Chiluk. He says, Kamsa means separate. Shenikra Kamsa Al Shem Hachiluk Vapirud. That the name Kamsa is based on, means separate, divided. Kizehu l'shon kmitza. What does it mean? V'kamatz, that you take a handful, you separate something. And also, l'shon chachamim, gemar bava basra. Gabe achim shechoku. Let's say brothers who are separating property. Bava b'cho v'taraf chelko she'echa behem mikamtzim. So that there the Gemara says that let's say the brothers own, they're splitting up property for inheritance, and someone takes the property of one brother, so mekantzim, so then you take, you know, they divvy up some of the other property, so everyone's equal. They take a handful from everyone, and therefore, that's what is separate, divided from everyone, is called kamsa. A handful from everyone. And therefore, the Gemara says, because of kamsa, bar kamsa, Shalom was destroyed. There's no doubt. They weren't born as, oh, my little kamsa, my little bar kamsa. There is a debate. Some say they're actually father and son. It's not our topic. But Kamsa, Bar Kamsa. But here, at least the way the Maral understands, they are called Kamsa, Bar Kamsa because they were people who were designated, they were people who were part of the split, the separation. Because of them, the Mikdash was destroyed. Shula Achdus, destroyed. The Mikdash is designated to unite Klai, so Lakasher also Ba'Achdus, and to connect them with Achdus. V'yesh L'cha L'ispode. And we need to understand. Ba'asa Kamso Ba'Pashu Ba'Chato. What did Kamsa do? What was his sin? Shamar Ardei Kamsa Chav Yishalayim. That because of Kamsa, Yishalayim was destroyed. You should know. In that generation, there was hatred and division. What do you do if there's hatred? You take someone who you like. You're on my team. Identity politics. I don't know. You take someone. What does it say in the Gemara? It says here, Derachme. There was a guy, Derachme Kamsa. He loved Kamsa. Why did he love Kamsa? He says, he didn't love Kamsa because he loved Kamsa. He loved Kamsa because I need people for my team. I don't like you, so I want to get people for who are part of my team. That if you're beloved for this reason, you're called Kamsa. That why are you connected with the host, with the other guy? It's only because I am not him. And that's why the people who join together to form groups, separate cliques, separate groups, they're called Kamsa or Bar Kamsa. Okay, if you're actually fighting, it's a little worse. So therefore, lachach nikra mishlo yabo machlokes, rashi mischabel mishayabala machlokes nikra kamsa. So the guy who's part of the clique, who wants to join the clique, he's kamsa. He actually didn't actually fight, but he's part of the clique. He's part of the cause. The umishayabo machlokes atzma nikra bar kamsa. The guy who actually fights is called bar kamsa. So the guy who fights is worse. At the same, you know, my son tells me in teenage parlay, there's something called NPC. You ever hear that? Oh, good. We're all old. NPC means it's a computer lingo. It means non-player character. And they refer to that, they refer to NPCs of people who, like, they're not relevant. That's like, sometimes, you know, teenagers, they have different opinions about different things and they fight with each other. But there's this new parlay in teenage, and I actually Googled it. It's a well-known parlay in teenage use that's called NPC, which you basically say that this kid is irrelevant, okay? So in other words, the one who fights is worse, but you know what the heading of the story is? The heading of the story, what is the story called? He thinks about Siddhas Chinam. The heading of the story is Ashrei Adam Mefachei Tamid. The heading of the story is a story of short-sightedness. It's about not realizing the impact of your actions. It's about the little things that you do which seem harmless, which collectively can cause major damage. And we think about, you know, it causes the victim to respond harshly, right? The inactivity of the rabbis. It was technically allowed halachically. We didn't realize that we are a big influence because he's a big gevir, but we think technically halachically, I think it's okay what he's doing. It leads to the victim responding harshly. And I would argue that it also might cause you to start acting inappropriately by little things. And there's a really interesting Eicha Rabba, the last source. Because my last question is, what was the failure of Zechariah ben Avkula? So were they allowed to not offer the korban? Were they allowed to bring the korban even though it had a blemish? So the Magen Avraham paskins that they were allowed to. It's pretty clear from the Gemara Gittin that they were allowed to. What? Me, his forbearance. Maybe he stopped. So there's a different take on the story that he didn't think he was a gadol, that he couldn't go against it. But the Eicha Rabba actually says this explicitly, and it makes sense, that Eicha Rabba, when he tells the story, he actually says, you know who was at this party? It was Zechariah ben Avkulos. So he was one of the people who was at the party, and he didn't protest either. So you can imagine that sometimes, by not protesting, by the little things, by being short-sighted, it causes inaction on your part. Rav Zechariah ben Avkulas' inaction at the party may have clouded his judgment later. What was his short-sightedness?
He should have said something.
He should have said something, but there's a lot of short-sightedness in the story, by the way.
The rabbis also should have said something.
They were unaware. So on the surface, you say, what's the short-sightedness? If you read the story on the surface, what's the short-sightedness? I'm unaware that not bringing a korban can lead to the destruction of Yerushalayim. Like that's like the obvious short-sightedness. But it's much more than that. The short-sightedness is maybe not being aware that flattery clouds judgment. It's minimizing the destructive quality of clicks. It's minimizing the destructive quality of embarrassment on the victim. Maybe justifying it because the victim had a flaw. It's minimizing the destructive perception about not caring about someone being embarrassed. You justify it because the person will listen anyway. Yeah, but what about the guy? What about the victim? It's about little things. Ultimately, the story of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa is more than just a story of hatred. It's a story of the underlying causes of hatred. And it's a story about all of us. I mean, all of us, hopefully, we're good people. But I'm saying it's about people, even people who aren't people who are argumentative and hate people. It's about all of us. It's about little things that we do or we don't do. It's a story of little things that seem innocent and not a big deal that blow up into big things. It's a story of exclusion, which seems very innocent. It's us versus them. And they are wrong and we are right. And because they are wrong and we are right, I'm permitted to hate them. Additionally, in a world of separate groups, I very much want to belong to a group. So I will always flatter the leaders of the group. I won't criticize them and will justify their behavior. And some people from my group will actively embarrass others, but I ignore it because members of the other group do the same thing to me. And this is so incredibly, and maybe I'm an extremist in this. I get very pained by this. This is so incredibly painful to watch in America. It's so incredibly painful to watch in Israel. Maybe I see two sides too much, maybe. Could be, in certain issues. But I see how painful the rhetoric is. I just see how these little things that people think because I'm right and what they can do to the other side, again, not with actions, but even with words, the way they feel towards other people. Again, I don't mean when someone's actively out to destroy you. I think there's a difference between a different political view of what's best for this country, even if you radically distinguish versus someone who says, I hate you, I want to destroy you. I think there's a difference between that. And we don't realize, I think, how flattery and our desire to identify with particular groups cloud our judgment. And I hope, I give myself this mussar too, I hope that each one of us can be a little more mefache tamid, a little more full of fear, a little more aware how our speech and our tone and our behavior and our inaction often impacts our relationships with others. I urge each one of us to worry about little things. The galut that we are in now is not because, as Evan pointed out, it's not because of three cardinal sins. It's not because of failures in our relationship with God. Doesn't mean that we're perfect in these areas. But when we mourn the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, we mourn our failures in our relationships with others. What we've seen from the aftermath of October 7th is that we love each other and we care about each other when the cards are down. We are one big family. And maybe today we think a bit more about how the spirit of brotherhood and sisterhood that permeated the Jewish nation with all the chesed is very strong but also very fragile and can be undone by small steps of inaction. The Kamsa, Bar Kamsa story is not just about the big things, it's about the little things. And hopefully we can all resolve this Tisha B'Av to work harder on the little things that step by step will transform Tisha B'Av from a day of destruction to the heralding of the Mashiach.